The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. The Ten Commandments have not been done away as many people believe and teach today. Rather, they were magnified by Jesus Christ and made more binding, bringing more and bigger blessings if kept now in the spirit as well as in the letter. Please go get your Bible and read along so you can see for yourself. Don't just take my word for this, or anyone else's word for it, for that matter. Check it out and prove it for yourself. Let's take the Bible now and turn over here to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 21 and read what God's word says about this subject, the Ten Commandments and the law. Isaiah 42 and verse 21. It says, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable." You know, when you magnify something, you don't do away with it. You make it bigger and you make it clearer. Isn't that true? Well, he said right here that he magnified the law. It does not say anywhere in the Bible that he did away with it, but it does say that he magnified it. He made it bolder and bigger and clearer and more binding, bringing more blessings and bigger blessings. He lifted it to the level of the spiritual application of the law as well as the letter. Now it's a matter of what we think as well as what we do and say regarding keeping the Ten Commandments. So we are to keep God's law today, which means all 10 of the commandments, not leaving a single one of them out. Let's turn over here to the New Testament and just see that. James chapter 2 and verse 8. It's very clearly put here. James says this in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 8. "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well." Notice he doesn't call the law bondage. He doesn't call God's commandments burdensome. He calls it the royal law. Notice verse 9. "But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and you are convinced of the law as transgressors." Any kind of racism, prejudice, favoritism, partiality, or anything like that regarding other human beings is sin. That's what it says right here in James 2 and verse 9. Verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." In other words, we have to keep the whole law. We can't keep just part of the commandments or some of the commandments or most of the commandments. We must keep all 10 of the commandments. That's what it says in God's word. And what law is he talking about here in the New Testament? Notice verse 11. "For he that says, do not commit adultery," that's the seventh commandment, "said also, do not kill," that's the sixth commandment. "Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law," the Ten Commandments. That's what he's talking about. Verse 12. "So speak you and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, not the law of bondage." So it's like a chain. If you have a chain that is hooked onto your truck and to your neighbor's truck, and you're pulling your neighbor's truck down the road, and one of the links in that chain breaks, that chain falls to the ground, and you no longer can pull your neighbor's truck. If you break one link, the whole chain is broken apart. The same thing is true with all 10 of the commandments. If you do away with one of them, or push one of them aside, or neglect one of them, or say you don't need to keep one of them, or two of them, or three of them, the whole law falls. We must keep the whole law, all 10 of the commandments. Today we're going to go into another one of God's commandments in this series that we've been going through pertaining to God's law. This commandment is the fourth one. This is the commandment more than any other that is purported to be done away or changed. And this false teaching about this commandment far exceeds any other false teaching about any other commandment out of the great 10. We're told we should keep the other 9, but we're not required to keep the fourth one. However, that is not what God says at all in his book, the Holy Bible. In fact, we will see that this commandment is still in force today, and we are commanded to keep it by the authority of the Old Testament and of the New Testament. Well, what is the fourth commandment? Let's turn in the Bible and see exactly what God says about this commandment in his law. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, and notice what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your manservant nor your maidservant nor your cattle nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And of course, in modern day language, when it talks about the seventh day here in verse 10, and that it is to be kept, and that we're not to do any work, our son, our daughter, or our manservant, or our maidservant, our cattle, or our stranger, this is just talking about employees, it's talking about businesses, it's talking about people that work for us. If they don't believe that they're to keep the Sabbath, they can go do whatever they want, but they can't work for us on this Sabbath day, because we are to rest this day, and everything that we are responsible for is to cease on that day. That's what we're told right here in God's Word. And it says, remember the Sabbath day in verse 8. Remember it. Don't forget it. Don't let it slip out of the picture, and now we don't even keep it or know about it or care about it. It says, remember the Sabbath day, and do what? To keep it holy. That's how important it is, to keep it holy. Well, when did God create the Sabbath day? Was it created at Mount Sinai? Or is it about the Old Covenant? Or is it about the Jewish people? When did he create the Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath? Turn with me over here to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, and we'll see. Genesis 2 and verse 1. This is God's inspired word. Let's read it. It says, verse 1 of Genesis 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. There's when the Sabbath day was created. He created the seventh day Sabbath when he created everything else, including man. Over here in Genesis, you read about the creation, the 7 days of creation, and the seventh day was the Sabbath day. And it says here, he rested from all his work which he had created and made, and he blessed it, and he sanctified it, and he set it apart. Now, this was long before the Old Covenant came into existence, and it was long before the Jewish people came along. This is God's holy day. This is not man's day. And by the way, if you'll consider what the Bible actually says, you will see that no other day in the week did God set aside, sanctify, and bless. Only the seventh day. Not the sixth day or the fifth day, etc. He only set aside the seventh day of the week, and he blessed it and sanctified it, and commands us to keep it holy unto him, and that it is his holy day. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath day, and so did the apostles in the New Testament church. This is not just Old Testament teaching, this is New Testament teaching as well. Turn with me over here to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, and let's notice that. Luke 4 and verse 16. We could go to many other examples, but for lack of time, we'll just go to this one. It very succinctly points out the fact that Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath day. It says in Luke 4 and verse 16, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, notice, as his practice was, his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and so on. So he preached and taught right out of God's word on the Sabbath day in church with the people who were there. And it was his custom to do that. He kept the Sabbath. So did the apostles in the New Testament church. Let's turn over here to Acts chapter 17 and verse 2 and let the Bible do the talking. Let's take God's word for what it says. Don't just believe men, Believe what the Bible says and believe those who teach what the Bible says. Turn over here to Acts chapter 17 and verse 2 and just see that. Which day did the apostles keep? Which day did the New Testament church keep? It tells us right here and in many other places in the Bible, but we'll just stop right here and read this. Acts chapter 17 and verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, once again, his custom, his practice, this is what he did on a regular basis. And Paul, the apostle, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And so Paul went right there into that meeting and opened God's word, and he taught them about Jesus Christ and his way of life and about Christian living. That's what he taught, right out of the Scriptures. And he did it when? On the Sabbath day. He kept the Sabbath. It was his custom to do so, just like the New Testament church did, just like the Bible says we are to do. We have to understand that the Sabbath is not bondage. It is not a chore to keep the holy Sabbath day. It is not something that interrupts our lives and therefore to be dreaded. But rather than that, it is a tremendous blessing from God that enhances and adds to our lives immeasurably. The Sabbath is a time of rest and relaxation. It involves a change of pace when we can slow down and spend extra time with our family and devote extra time to prayer and to study and to worshiping God and to seeking God and drawing close to God and thinking about and meditating on the things of God and the Bible and the purpose in life and of spending fellowship and time with His people. It's a tremendously refreshing blessing to know about the Sabbath, to understand and keep the Sabbath holy. Once again, that's what the Bible says. Let's turn over here to Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. See, somewhere in our lives, all of us have got to choose who we're going to listen to. We've all got to make up our minds regarding how our lives are going to be guided. Is it going to be by men who don't even believe God exists or who preach false things about God and His Word? Or are we going to be guided by and are we going to listen to Almighty God Himself straight out of His book, the Holy Bible, and live by what we read there? If we do that, our lives open up and take off, and we are going to experience a full, abundant life the way God intended from the beginning. And one of the things that will add to that abundant life is understanding the Sabbath day and keeping it properly. It is a tremendous, refreshing, restful, inspiring, rejuvenating experience. Not bondage at all. Notice here in Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah 58 and verse 13. God says this, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, notice, my holy day, this is His holy day, this is His time. He doesn't say that about any other day of the week. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in the eternal, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He's telling us here that if we will keep the Sabbath day properly and we will focus on Him and His way and His truth, and we will concentrate on spending time with our family and with others who are trying to obey God, this is going to be a delightful experience. This is an entire 24-hour period of time every week that God has set aside for us to forget about everything else that loads us down during the week. We lay aside all of the worries and the responsibilities and the deadlines and the imponderable problems we face. We lay them all aside, and for this entire Sabbath day, we refocus on the things of God, on His plan, on His purpose, for us and for others, on spending time with our family, on understanding new things from God's Word, and understanding bigger and broader concepts regarding the Creator of heaven and earth. And when we do that properly, we're going to be refreshed and renewed and restored, and then we can start off the week much better prepared, because we're not starting off tired and worn down. Rather, we're starting off rested and refreshed as a result of keeping this day that is called the Sabbath day, this day that is the fourth commandment. And you know, this command is carried over into the New Testament just like all the other commandments are. It's very clear, very plain. You can't find any place in the New Testament where the Sabbath day has been done away. You can't find any place in the New Testament where it's been changed from the seventh day to any other day. Rather, you find that the Sabbath day is established in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament, and it is to be kept today more fully than ever. Let's just go to a place that makes that plain right here in the New Testament. Let's turn over here to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. You can read this whole chapter and you'll see the context, but let's go down here to verse 9 of Hebrews 4. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Now, you can check the Greek word here that is translated rest, and you will see that it is sabbatismos, and it means keeping of a Sabbath to the people of God. Check the interlinear. Check the diaglot. Check commentaries. Check other translations. Look into it yourself, and you will see that what verse 9 actually says in the Greek is this: there remains, therefore, a keeping of a Sabbath day to the people of God. Let's continue now. Verse 10 of Hebrews 4. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And when did he cease from his own works? On the Sabbath day. We've already read that several places right there in the Bible. And it says it here in Hebrews as well. Let's just notice verse 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. When is the seventh day in today's society? We know very clearly that in the Bible, we read Old and New Testament that the Sabbath is the seventh day. Well, how does that correlate with how we keep time today? We could talk about that a lot, but let's just cut to the chase and get to the simplest way to answer that question. Just count out the days of the week on your own calendar. Start with the first day and go all the way through to the seventh day, and you will see that the seventh day of the week, according to your own calendar right there in your own home, is called Saturday today. That's the seventh day. It's Saturday. That's the day the Bible commands us to keep holy. That is the weekly Sabbath day. When we keep that day, we are obeying the fourth commandment. Now, here's some more questions. How do we know when the Sabbath day begins and ends? You know, we're told that the day ends at 12 midnight and the new day starts just after 12 o'clock midnight. In the dead of the night, the day ends and a new day starts. That's what we're told, but that's not what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says regarding the end of the day and the beginning of a new day, and therefore when the Sabbath day begins and ends. Turn with me over here to just one place that makes that clear, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 32. Leviticus 23 and verse 32. Notice what it says. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls, or humble yourselves, in the ninth day of the month at even. This is a particular annual festival that is also a Sabbath, an annual Sabbath. But notice the point here regarding when the Sabbath starts and ends, and therefore when it is to be kept holy. Notice here in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 32. From even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath, or observe your Sabbath, from even unto even. That's when the Sabbath day begins, and that's when it ends, from even unto even. Now here's another question. When is even? When is that? Remember, as we've said many times, the Bible must interpret the Bible. We can't take it upon ourselves to interpret the Bible. We have to read the Bible, believe what it says, understand it fully, and with God's help, obey it. And when there's a question or something that isn't clear in the Bible, we research it out and we find that we'll discover some other place in the Bible, a scripture that opens up the one that's not clear, the one that we don't understand. In other words, the Bible interprets the Bible. We just have to continue to read it and study it, and we will see that the clear scriptures open up the unclear scriptures. Now back to the question. From even unto even we are to observe the Sabbath, but what is even, does the Bible tell us? Let's turn over here to Mark chapter 1 and notice it does tell us. Notice Mark 1 and verse 32. This is the time when Jesus Christ came to Peter's house and healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then healed others of various diseases and various sicknesses. But to the point, notice verse 32 of Mark chapter 1. And at even, or evening is what that means, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with demons. At even, which means evening, many translations make that clear. But when is evening? When the sun did set. It makes it plain. So when the Bible says we are to celebrate our Sabbath or observe the holy Sabbath day from even unto even, it means the Sabbath is to be kept holy from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. That is the seventh day. When we do that, that is obeying the fourth commandment of God. Just to reiterate all of that, let's turn back over to another place in the Bible where the commandments are all laid out in proper order and read again about the Sabbath day. Let's turn over here to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We know that the Ten Commandments are laid out in Exodus 20 in proper order, and they're also laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 5 in proper order. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, or keep it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Are we going to do that? Should we disregard that? Is that no longer applicable? Who did away with that? Did Christ wipe that out? You can't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus Christ wiped out the Sabbath day, or did away with it, or canceled it. Rather, you find that he kept the Sabbath day holy, the seventh day. You can't find that the apostles, including Peter, Paul, James, and John, neglected the seventh-day Sabbath, or kept another day, or just removed the fourth commandment from the teachings to the church in their day. Rather, you find that they kept the Sabbath day, and the New Testament Christian church kept it as well. Oh, it was changed, all right, but not by God, and not by the Bible. It was changed by men, and now others follow that change. Based on whose authority? The authority of men, the commandments of men, but not based on the authority of the Bible and not based on the commandments of Almighty God. The same Sabbath that God instituted at creation is still in force today. He's the one who created it and made it, and only he could change it, and he didn't change it. Rather, he made it more binding through Jesus Christ, who came and magnified the law. He didn't diminish it. He didn't reduce it. He magnified the law. And since the fourth commandment is a part of the law, he magnified the Sabbath. He enriched it. He lifted it to the spiritual plane, not just the physical plane. Now it applies both spiritually in the spirit of the law as well as physically in the letter of the law. Now it's our intent, our attitude, how we approach and think about the Sabbath day, as well as what we actually do or don't do on that holy day. So back here to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. See, Almighty God has set aside 6 days in which we can work and we can build and we can shop and we can do fun things like golf and fish and hunt and hike and play all kinds of games and do all kinds of activities with our family and with our friends, but especially labor and work and fulfill our responsibilities and carry out our obligations. 6 days. But then in his mercy and in his love and in his greatness, in his perfection, and in his concern for all of us, look what he did following that. Verse 14. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, not my Sabbath, not your Sabbath, not any religious organization's Sabbath, not the Sabbath of the Old Covenant, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Who would dare change the Sabbath of the Lord God? It's his Sabbath. Who would dare teach that it's done away? Who would dare advocate that it's been replaced by another day? We better be careful about doing that. And we better not do it. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, anyone you're responsible for. Once your children have become grown and gone out on their own, they have to make their own decisions regarding God and the Bible, and for that matter, the Sabbath. But anyone you're responsible for, be they employee or child, they're not to work for you, and they're not to work under your authority on that Sabbath day any more than you do. If they go and do it on their own, that's their choice between them and God. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your ass, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you. You can't require them to work while you rest. They get to rest as well and be refreshed and not work on that day. If he had made it optional and said, well, you can keep the Sabbath if you want to, it's up to you. Well, I mean, who would keep the Sabbath day? He knows human nature. So he commanded it. You go ahead and work for 6 days. Go ahead and do what you want to, as long as it's within my law and right. But on the seventh day, from sunset to sunset, you're not to work. You are to rest. You're not to do your own thing. You're to do what I say. You are to worship me in a special way. Draw close to me in an extra special way. Concentrate on the things that have to do with me and my way and my truth and my word. That's what God is telling us. We have free material we'd be glad to send to you about the Holy Sabbath Day and about God's law, the Ten Commandments. You can call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317 and ask for our free material on the Sabbath Day and the commandments or God's law. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge, with no obligation whatsoever. Also, I want to encourage you to ask for our free magazine, Straightforward. It's chock full of material about the world we live in today and about the truth of God and how we can navigate our way through this present evil world all the way into the kingdom of God through the help that comes from God. And Straightforward will help us do that. It's a free magazine. All you got to do is ask for it. In fact, all of our material is free of charge. We're just glad we can send it to anyone who would like to have it. All you need to do is call 1-800-581-1317 and request it. Or you can reach us through our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.